Let us turn together to the psalm that we read, Psalm 133. And I will ask after the preaching Mr. Urquhart to lead us in prayer, please, afterwards. Now, Psalm 133. I had in my records that we already had a short study on this psalm. It was sometime a year ago, even more than that. And in that overview of the whole psalm, we were reminded how we have the characteristics here of Christian fellowship. And we learn, going through the whole psalm, that Christian fellowship is good, is pleasant, fellowship is precious and indeed refreshing to the body of Christ. But as we are going through these psalms, and we are almost at the end, only 1, 3, 4 is left for us. I didn't want to jump over this one, although we had said already a few things in the past. And what I would like to focus tonight is right verse 1, and especially these words. It is how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Dwelling together. So, if you want a title for this short meditation, it would be abiding in unity. This is what we are told, because dwelling means rightly that. It means to abide, to be settled, and to live with brethren, with people of the same family, of the same mind, with the same goals. So I would like to analyze better what is this unity spoken about here. And we shall do this under three headings with three simple words. Looking at the author, the application, and the advantage of unity. Or the advantages, better say that, of unity. Now, first of all, the author of unity, the author of Christian unity. Well, we cannot think too much here, because it's pretty obvious. The author of unity is God Himself. It is God Himself. Just as we can look at the world and see how many wars and fightings are in our world, we cannot blame God for that. So we cannot blame God for when we look at the Church of Christ and there is disunity, and there is no such unity as it is described here. We cannot blame God, of course, because God is the author of unity. He is the God of peace. And there are loads of verses that we can list here, finding and pointing us exactly to this. His desire is to have His people united. For example, the letter to the Corinthians, in a couple of places we read this. When Paul, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is speaking about the worship of God, and when some people there in Corinth were speaking in tongues and some other were not translating or interpreting, there was confusion in the worship in the church. And Paul settled this subject and says at one point this: God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So here we have clearly the mind of Paul pointing to this. God is not a God of war in this sense. His church must be ruled, or must be show peace and unity. In another chapter, again to the Corinthians, Paul will write this encouraging the believers and pointing them toward all the fightings and the disagreements that were present in that congregation, Paul will say, be of one mind, live in peace, and here's a beautiful promise, and the God of peace be with you. Actually, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's Paul's command and encouragement. The God of peace, our God, is a God of peace. What will Paul write to the Philippians? And I think this chapter is so encouraging that it's worth reading a few verses here. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Here is exhorting the Philippians to holiness of life and to serve the Lord. He says this in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And, listen to this, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's the command of Paul, the calling as Christians that we have all to bring everything in prayer before the Lord, just as we are doing tonight, and let our God, all our requests be made unto Him, so that the peace of God, His peace, it is a peace that is not possible to explain with words, passes all understanding, this peace shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, everywhere, the Word of God is pointing us to a God of peace. To the God who originates and gives peace and fosters peace and unity. How should we not be surprised that the psalmist brings us this picture of unity among believers? He starts this psalm with a great expression. Behold, we are to think again of this psalm as one of the psalms who are sung toward walking or in pilgrimage toward Jerusalem. These are all the section. These are all the psalms in this section of the books of the book of Psalms. A song of degree. A psalm that was sung by all the pilgrims walking toward Jerusalem to praise the Lord, to worship Him. And so it is as if we can imagine David looking at all these people going up to Jerusalem, or maybe dwelling there in Jerusalem with the purpose of worshipping the Lord after long journeys, coming from all places. And he can see them there, dwelling in Jerusalem together, having relations one to another, talking one to one each other. And he expressed, he cannot contain himself and says, behold, how good it is. And we may even imagine David here as he is the one who had experienced so much disagreements and fightings and awful things in his own family. He has experienced as well fightings within the people of God in many occasions. Groups of people going against the others within the Jerusalem, within Israel itself. And now he finally sees this picture. He sees believers united, dwelling together in Zion to worship the Lord. He says how good and pleasant it is. And he gives us the picture of this incident. So, this is where God's word points us. God is the author of unity. And not only God the Father, but we are to say the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Was not the Lord praying and pointing toward this spiritual unity with the Father? Has not the Lord Jesus Christ himself made this unity, made peace with God because of his work? That's why he came and died and shed his blood. He paid with his life the payment for our sins. He has made peace. And that's exactly the word that Paul uses when he writes to the Ephesians and speaks about the blood of Christ shed for us, and says of Christ, he is our peace. Let us never turn our eyes away when we think of unity and love among brethren, that God is the one who grants this. It is in Christ that we can have this peace. Well, secondly, what about the application of this unity? How is it made real among us? It must not be only a theory. It is a reality. It can be a reality. And it is a work of the Holy Spirit. That's how the love of Christ is found in your hearts and in the hearts of true believers and in the Church of God here on earth. It is the Holy Spirit that makes this work real. It is his work at regeneration when we become children of God. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit in and through sanctification in all the days of our lives. Do we not read in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love and peace and unity and all those characteristic that we read there? It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and working in his church. There are a lot of explanation or dreams about unity and love among people, especially among outside of the church. You can read about a lot of things, and very often it is only, even in worldly associations, there are great ideas regarding unity, but this is very often only an acknowledgement of the same subjects. It's very often an agreement on a lot of things. But the true difference between the invisible church is rightly this, that the Holy Spirit is working among believers' heart. It might not be a perfect unity as we look at this psalm all the time and always there. There might be difficulties, there might be problems to be solved, but this is something that should not cause us to be disillusioned about this reality. It is what the Word of God is pointing us again and again. It is what Paul is encouraging Christians to pursue all the time. It is what David, although he has been living among many trials and difficulties, can say with all his marvel, it is good it is pleasant. It is something that comes from above. We have these two pictures of the oil that comes upon the beard of Aaron. And that is, again, the picture of the Holy Spirit who is anointing the high priest. The application of this unity is from the Holy Spirit Himself. And what about the advantages of this unity? Abiding in unity. Well, we have the very first few words of this psalm. It brings good when brethren abide in unity. It is good. It is a supreme good. How good and how pleasant it is. It is something to be admired. It is something not to be dreamed only, but to realize that God has provided this to happen. And when this is not happening, it is for sure the work of the devil. It is for sure the Holy Spirit which has been grieved and not obeyed in everyone's life. Notice the end of all this subject, at the end of the psalm. What is the great advantage described here for us? It is blessing. It is the blessing of God. And more specifically, it is life forevermore. What can you combine better the Holy Spirit with anything else apart from eternal life? That's what you have received as a born-again Christian. The life of the Spirit. The life of the Spirit which is holding you and carrying you day by day in sanctification. That's the Spirit that will give you, that has given you eternal life. And in this context, that's what God wants to bring. When unity, when believers dwell here on earth in unity, in such a way as we have pictured here, it is nothing less than a taste of heaven. And no one of us, I'm sure, can deny of having experienced this in a measure, at times, even meeting other believers from other countries, or even for the first time, you know and you understand right away that when someone is in Christ, it takes only a few words. Just a deep looking in the eyes to realize that there is a unity in the Spirit. That you are one in Christ. And that is what all eternity will be about. Life forever. Life eternal. What is another advantage of this unity that we read here? Well, yes, we have said it is good. It is supreme good that God is pleased to pour upon His church. But it is also pleasant. It is pleasant not only for God, because He is pleased. How can we think God will not be pleased to see His church, His children dwelling in unity here on earth? We have said He is the God of peace. So He is pleased to see His children forgiving each other, living and encouraging one another, bearing one another's burdens, sympathizing one with the other. And all these things that are part of dwelling and living together. We are not to think that this is only a picture of a time of worship. Yes, it is good. And this is when believers are most united before the Lord. They raise their voice in singing and listening the word of God. They worship their God. But dwelling means much more. We do not read, it is pleasant for brethren to sit together in unity. That's easy. It is pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. This means the whole of their life. It is a lot and much more than dwelling in the house of God. It is to serve the Lord of one mind. It is to struggle against the snares of the devil and this world. It is helping each other in building up our lives in service to God. This all is pleasant in God's eyes. And it is pleasant for others as well. It is pleasant to the world outside, because that is what Christ said. Is it not the word of the Lord when we read in John 13, Christ saying, "By this shall men know that you are my disciples, that ye have love one to another." And this is the biggest trumpet that we can sound. It is the greatest sermon that we could preach in this world around us. When they will see, when they realize that this is not only a congregation that worships together, but also a congregation that is able to dwell together in unity, meaning living a life of mutual help, of praying and building one another in Christ, in stirring up one another in love and in good works, in the works of the kingdom of God. May this be true. May we all live with this goal in mind. May we all be found and singing this psalm with this very idea, that we marvel, that we praise the Lord, because we do see that it is His work when we are in unity, dwell together in unity.